On June 25th, President Obama released a comprehensive plan to fight climate change. The plan pointed out that last year was the warmest year on record for our country. While the efforts to fight climate change continue, researchers seem to have found another reason to prevent climate change. It's violence. Researchers from the University of California, Berkeley have found strong links between human conflicts and climate change. Joining Current State today to discuss those findings is Solomon Shung, the lead author of the research. He's also the assistant professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Welcome to Current State, Professor Shung.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us about your research. How did you come to this conclusion, linking climate changes to increases in conflict?
So what we did is we actually re-examined 60 studies that had been conducted by researchers across various research disciplines, ranging from psychology and criminology to economics and political science and archaeology. And what we did is we tried to see if there were any sort of common patterns displayed across all these many different studies conducted over the last couple decades. And what we found is that as temperatures shift towards, as we move towards higher temperatures, at least in the modern world, or if in agricultural societies, rainfall goes towards sort of extremely high or extremely low levels, we tend to observe higher levels of human conflict, both sort of at the personal scale when we look at information on how many people are victims of murder, assault, rape, domestic violence, and also on sort of the group level when we think of intergroup conflict as things like ethnic violence, political violence, and civil conflicts. So we see that there's very pervasive relationships throughout the data, and this is kind of why we think that there's something deep going on in terms of how people are relating to their environment.
I'm curious, from a regional perspective, what regions stood out for you in your results here?
Well, one of our really interesting findings, and one reason these results are interesting, is that we found these relationships hold around the world. So if you go to any region in the world, there are studies showing a linkage between human conflict and climate. Now, the relationships are not the same everywhere in the world, and in different places, different elements of the climate become important. For example, for farmers, drought is going to be more important than high temperatures. But even in places like the United States, we observe that on extremely hot days or on hot weeks or hot months, we observe higher levels of interpersonal violence, things like violent crime.
And was the dynamic here, it was warming and it was drought?
So in general, we observe that higher temperatures tend to be worse in terms of violence at most places around the world, in the modern world. Historically, when the world has been in cold epochs, for example, during the Little Ice Age, we observe that extreme cooling events tend to be bad as well. And we sort of hypothesize that that might be because cold events, when you're already at a pretty cold baseline, are really destructive for agriculture. And so back in these several centuries ago, that led to sort of economic collapse. But in the modern world, we tend to observe higher temperatures are worse. And when it comes to rainfall, depending on where you are, in general, extreme drought is, of course, going to be much worse. Mm-hmm. And then in some places, too much rain is also bad because you get flooding that destroys crops and sort of also really affects people's livelihoods, the local economy.
According to your research, if temperatures continue to rise, then by 2050, the frequency of interpersonal conflict would rise 8 to 16%. Did you look into how that violence would unfold? What exactly would lead to what? Did you go that deep?
So that's an important point. And in this research, we are unable to pinpoint exactly the mechanism that links the climate to human conflict. And one reason we say that is because there are many hypotheses out there and a lot of evidence suggesting that a variety of mechanisms might be playing a role. So, for example, there's evidence that human psychology is strongly affected by the environment in which you're exposed. So we can put people in a cold room and in a hot room, and we observe their behavior actually changes in a laboratory. But that's not the only mechanism. You know, we think that, for example, economic conditions matter because, you know, when the climate changes, it leads to changes in economic performance and employment, which then in turn affect people's incentives to participate in sort of conflict-related activities versus something in the formal sector that might be more productive. So there's a variety of mechanisms out there. We can't exactly pinpoint which one it is yet. And in our work, we tried to lay out all the different hypotheses that people have proposed. And we're hoping that future research is going to help us understand what these mechanisms are, because understanding why we observe more conflict when the climate changes is going to be the key to designing policies or institutions that are going to help us avoid these types of events.
Sure. Is determining those triggers, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another aspect of your research, which is very interesting, is that it kind of played out in person-to-person mode, interpersonal conflict, which is what we just referred to, and intergroup conflict, groups against groups. And I see that you forecast anywhere between a 30% and 60% increase in conflicts in intergroup conflict. Lots more dramatic risk there. Can you help us understand that?
So I would temper that number a little bit. I mean, what that number represents is we observe historical statistical relationships where the temperature changes and we observe more intergroup conflict. And so if that relationship that we observe over the last several decades continues into the future completely unaltered, then that's what we would expect. But it's quite possible that in the future we could discover new technologies, or we could develop some sort of political institutions, or there could be an economic transformation that changes how people respond to the climate. So it's quite possible that the level of violence could be lower, could also be higher if things tend to get worse. But those are the numbers that one would take from sort of a naive extrapolation of these results. And they're large enough that we think that this issue deserves substantial attention, given that we would all be somewhat upset to experience changes in sort of riots or civil conflicts, whether it's locally or around the world on that scale.
Gotcha. Professor Solomon Shung is our guest from the University of California, Berkeley. He's just wrapped up a study involving where he studied the connection between climate change and the increased possibility of violence, both between individuals and between groups. I've noticed this trend where a good deal of modern academic research seems to look at, just as yours did, looks at a group of previously existing studies and tries to just kind of review what's already been looked at. Can you explain what's going on there?
Well, so in our particular case, this is a field that has grown very rapidly over the last several years. We actually were able to obtain 60 studies that met a fairly strict criteria. But of those studies, more than half of them have come out since 2011. So this is really an exploding field of research.
Wow.
Researchers around, we tallied up how many people were involved, and it was over 190 researchers around the world. So we're learning a lot of things, but academic research is not always highly organized, and not everyone is able to sort of keep up with what everyone else does. So periodically, it's important for someone like us to go out there, try to understand what the community is learning, and try to synthesize it in a way that is sort of easily to digest and that can help us see what the way forward in future research ought to be. There was an extra component beyond just that kind of synthesis that we did in this study as well. We did something called meta-analysis, which is actually a formal statistical procedure where you can take a variety of results from previous studies and actually combine the results to obtain even stronger results. So that was one component of the study. The numbers that you were reporting came from that kind of very formal procedure. And in this field, no one had previously done that. So we actually didn't have a very good sense of how we could think through quantitatively what the world might look like in the future. Until we try to combine results from all these different studies.
How close attention are world governments paying to studies like yours?
Based on my personal experience, I'd say that they're quite interested. They have many issues and concerns that have to be balanced. Of course, they're not going to throw all of their resources at any one problem. There's many things that are going on. But we've interacted with many policymakers in terms of helping them understand what we're doing, what we're finding, and sort of what that can do to inform the design of intelligent policies.
What's been the response? Has there been any particular response from the U.S. government to your study?
Yeah, they're very aware of this kind of work, of what's going on, and they are using it, I think, in their strategic planning, both from a military standpoint and from sort of just the domestic policy standpoint, in terms of understanding what the value of investing in climate change related technologies or designing policies that might promote the mitigation of greenhouse gas emissions.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of interest, and I think people are considering it, but we'll see. We'll see what happens in the future.
Time well spent, as far as you're concerned.
Yes.
Very good. Professor Solomon Shung has just wrapped up a study on the relationship between climate change and violence around the world. Professor Shung, thanks for joining us on Current State.
Thanks for having me.